Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Last week, as we looked at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30, I asked you what you would entitle that scripture. Then I told you what I would entitle this scripture would be, "Do not miss out on what Jesus has planned next." Now, you do realize that Jesus has something planned next, right? He's not done. He's not dead. He's not sitting somewhere twiddling his thumbs. Jesus has got something coming next. You know that, right? Now, we looked at all that we as a church have missed since this coronavirus hit the United States back in March. We then looked at our scripture and saw that of all the things God had given his chosen people, the people who watched Jesus grow up had missed out on because they would not recognize him, Jesus, as their personal Messiah. When they took a moment, we then took a moment to realize that there were things coming, events that Jesus told us of, that if we're not paying attention, if we're being consumed by what's taking place in the world today, that we too are going to be in danger of missing out on the things that we know are soon coming to take place. Now, this morning, being that it is Father's Day, and I hope you children haven't been cheap, and you've gotten your father something nice, mine did good. Mine did good this year. They did good. Yeah, they did. Children, don't be cheap. Emily, did you get your dad something good for Father's Day? Okay, I'm just checking. Diana's like, no. Since today's Father's Day, we're going to kind of, pull back a little bit, and we're going to have a sermon for our fathers, but it's really for the church as well. So look with me in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. So Jesus says this. He says, "So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil," because we're of the flesh, "if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you would be with us right now during this time of that we open your word. You would just settle us. Help us, Lord, to pay attention during this time where we divide the scripture and see exactly what it is that you'd have us to see. We pray, Lord, that you would give us receptive hearts and minds, Lord, to retain what we hear today, that we might be greater Christians for you in the days to come. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. So we're looking at fathers and what fathers should be, and the title of this morning's scripture is, "What a Father." What a Father. Now, I hope at some point in time in my life as a father, my children have sat back and said, "Boy, my dad, what a father." But we have a Father in heaven. Amen? And he is an unbelievable father. So as I started looking at this message, and this message started forming in my mind, I got to thinking, what is the world's view of what a great father is? They have opinions. I mean, the world is not short of opinions in the day that we live. Y'all know that, right? Listen to what this list says. It says, and I'll read you what it says. It says, "List of responsibilities of a father or a great father." And this is the world's view. "Always be there for your children." That's pretty good, yeah. "Always be there for your children." We always should be there for our children, right? Good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter, 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 a.m. in the morning, if our children need us, we need to be there for them, right? It's easier to be there for you at 12 in the afternoon, though, than 2 a.m. Number two, "Stay focused on the positive things you are speaking to them." So be positive. Everything's positive. It doesn't matter what they do. You need to be positive. Don't forget to say the most important words as often as possible. I love you. Now, that's a good one. I can't believe that's even on this list. But we don't tell our children nearly enough that we love them. Amen? We don't. Here's another one. It's no shame to show your emotions in front of your family. Stay focused on improving the relationship you have with your wife. Now, they added, or your significant other. We're going to stick with the wife, okay? So, fathers, you need to stay focused on improving the relationship you have with your wife. If you want to show your kids how much you love them, show them how much you love your wife. Fathers. Here's another. Remember to take time out from your job to spend time with your family. Here's another one. Pay attention when your children are speaking to you. Okay. Always stay informed so you can teach your children. Your children need to be kept accountable for their words or action. Listen to this. But no punishments. Scripture says, beat them with a rod, they will not die. If you beat them with a rod, you will remove them from the grave. Trey, did you pay attention to that? Proverbs 23:13. You write that down, son. You having a boy. Here's another one. You need to have at least one daily meal with your family. You should sometimes do wacky things in front of your children, and they left off this part, to embarrass them. Spend alone time with your child. Embrace physical exercises and get your children to join in. Yeah, boys, I'm going running. Y'all want to go with me? No, not today, Dad. Here's another one. Take walks with your family without your car. Really, y'all, I'm not making this stuff up. This was the actual list, Griffin. This is it. I'll let you have this, man. You can make an airplane out of it. Take walks with your family without your car. Always admit when you're wrong. I try to do that. Here's two more. Keep in mind what you hated from your parents as a child and promise yourself to be different with your own child. That's really good advice, but I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I feel like I sound like my dad. I do. Here's the last one. Read bedtime stories to your children. Alex, tonight, before you go to bed, son, I'm going to read you a story. No, it's going to be my favorite. There once was a poor little boy named Jack whose mother wasn't feeling very well. Jack and the Beanstalk. That's what we're going to finish that up tomorrow, tonight. Now, did you notice that something pretty big was missing in the world's view of what a good father's responsibility should be? Paul didn't write to pastors or teachers in Ephesians 6 when he said, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. He was talking to fathers. We know the three basics as to how a good father should be, right? Love God first, lead family in prayer and devotion, and lead family to the house of God. We didn't see that in the world's view of what a good father and his responsibilities should be. We see good fathers doing this, but how do we get to the point as fathers that this becomes second nature to us? Now, all of us can look around and we see good fathers. Y'all are talking about the men in this church who mentored you and grew you in your faith in God as you were growing up. But how do you get to this point? Well, I believe we can see in our scripture this morning. How do we become good fathers? Those of you who aren't fathers, how do you become good Christians? How do you become good Christians? Now, I must admit now that as my children have grown, that there only is one book you can buy from any store that's going to teach you how to raise a child. Make it through teenage years and endure until the last child leaves the house to find their way out in the world. And that book was not written by Dr. Spock. Y'all, it still confounds me that is like a number one best-selling how to raise your child, and the man never even had kids. People took the advice of a man who never had to change a screaming baby's diaper, who never had to buy insurance for a teen, and they, oh yeah, we need to listen to this man. The only book that you need to raise a child, Trey, is the Word of God. The Holy Word of God. That's all you need. You need to pay attention to your wife, too. Now, if we were paying even half of attention to our scripture this morning, you did hear attributes that make a good father. Now, once again, church, scripture is relevant in the days that we live. Now, let me ask, are there any perfect children? For the first 3 or 4 weeks, y'all are going to think, this baby's so perfect. Maggie going to say, oh, this is perfect. Look at it. Looks like little Trey in there. Look at him. He eats like Trey, too. Look at him. He eats. But then, you know, when you're tired and you're sleepy, this child's demon-possessed. I'm telling you. There are no perfect children. Now, let me ask this. Are there any perfect fathers? Well, I thought I was. When Emily was born, oh my gosh, it was great. It was wonderful. We laughed at people because they had such a hard time. We're just like, what's the big deal? This is nothing. She's a breeze. I mean, she was potty trained by like a year and a half old. She was talking like I'm talking now. I mean, she was a breeze. And we thought, hey, this is so, let's have another one. And then we found out what it was all about raising children. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect fathers, but one. There is one father that is perfect, and that's Father God. Now, if we'll admit that there's no perfect children and there's no perfect fathers other than God, then we can openly admit to ourselves that there is room for improvement. You see, unless you realize that, you know, there's something missing in you, you can't make improvements, right? So if we can admit there's no perfect children and there's no perfect fathers, we have room for improvement this morning. Right now, we can look at our scripture and find the instructions for such improvement. Now, understand here that it does not matter how old your child is right now, from 1 to 55 or 95, whatever number you want to throw in there, we can improve our parenting skills by listening to what Luke records Jesus saying. So what is it that Jesus has to say? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Verse 9 gives us three pieces of instruction. Look at verse 9. It says, so I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. So we have three pieces of instructions. Now understand here that it is Jesus giving these perfect instructions. So they're foolproof. Well, what does that mean? It's full. It works. Now, if I'm telling you to do something, you might not know whether it's going to work or not until you practice it or you try to do it, right? But Jesus is telling us to do this. So, Becky, it's going to work, right? It's got to work. Amen? So, you've got a foolproof plan. I don't care how old your children are. Jeff, this is going to work with both yours, and they're just toddlers. This is going to work for you. Those of you who you might be in college and you don't have children, but one day you want to have children, you might want to write this down, put it in the front of your Bible. How do I raise my children? This is it. You ready? This is top secret FBI information. It works. The first piece of these instruction is this. Keep asking. Keep asking. Now, Larry, this isn't like the wives. They want something. Honey, will you buy this? No. Honey, we really need this. No. I've seen other people, and listen, it's very beneficial. We need to get this. No. And after about the 17th, 18th, 100th time, Lee, you finally give in because you're tired of that. It's not like that, okay? It's not like that. This one piece of the instructions alone with the other two need to be seen through the will of God. This is the will of God. This isn't the will of a person. This isn't a want or really a need. It's the will of God. We must know that we are asking for what must be in the will of God, and not of material luxuries or of the flesh or fleshly desires. Now, what do you mean, Brother Kyle? Well, we need to keep asking for these things that we know we need to be better parents, and to be better Christians, and to be better children of God. We need to ask for wisdom, knowledge, more love, more understanding, more compassion, more reconciliation. These things will help us to do what God has created us to do and to be, what God desires us all to become. Now, who here will admit that we need more of these items? We really do, especially inside of dealing with the children that God has blessed us with. Listen to this prayer. Listen to this prayer. Lord Jesus, please give me more wisdom and compassion to deal with my teenager. That's good stuff. Do you think God would bless that? Look at these parents over here. I prayed that prayer. God, I even tried it one time speaking in tongues just to see if it worked. Do you think God would honor that? Yeah, he's going to honor that prayer. Lord, I need wisdom. Oh, my. You saw what they did, God? I need wisdom. God's going to honor that prayer. Our scripture tells us to keep asking, and it will be given. Now, I don't know about you. We had stair-step children. I don't know whether I'd advise that or not. When Emily was six, Kyle was four, and Alex was two. 2, 4, 6. 6, 4, 2. That's nuts. So, Emily was the good, she was the good, good child. It's like the good, good, she was the good, good child. I think I had to spank her maybe 5 or 6 times her whole life. And she needed it. She did. Then Kyle, about had to beat him to death. Don't even know that it worked, any of them. And then Alex, I think I've had to spank Alex maybe 3 times. 3 or 4 times. I mean, it did. Why? Because he saw what his brother got, and he didn't want any part of that. I mean, he would tell you the truth. I mean, just he didn't want to be beaten. The other two would, you know, they'd lie to you from time to time. Emily, did you do this? Well, Kyle, did you do this? No, sir. No, sir. Alex, did y'all do that? Yep, we sure did. They're lying. Listen, I need this. I don't know about you. I need the wisdom, even today, to be a better father, to be a better child of God. What does Scripture tell us to do? Number one, keep asking. Keep asking. If you're not asking, you feel like you have enough or you know enough. Keep asking. You need more. I need more. Amen? But he doesn't stop there. The second piece of the instructions given by Jesus is seen in verse 9. It says, keep searching and you'll find it. Now again, I've got to tell you, Miss Vaughn, Jesus said this, I didn't. He said, keep searching and you'll find it. We cannot be content that we have found all of the answers. I know everything there is to know. It's just not the case. Every time that I've thought that I've figured it all out concerning how to be a good parent, something new will arise, and everything I thought I knew to say or to do is all but worthless. Every time I thought that I've experienced everything a parent could possibly experience, I get a phone call. Hey, Dad. Hello? I don't know about y'all. All three of my children are grown and gone. They're out of the house. Kyle still lives here in Savannah. Alex lives in Charlotte, or soon to be Charlotte now. Emily lives in Greenville. And I love to talk to my children, but there's times, especially late in the evening when the phone rings, I'm like, oh my gosh, Alex is calling. He don't ever call. What's going on? What's wrong? I mean, the thought goes through your head, does it not? Listen, the second part of those instructions is keep searching and you'll find it. We never know what's coming around the corner, so we need to learn how to be prepared to be better Christians and better parents. Well, we need to be constantly searching out ways to be better than who we are today. Now, this doesn't stop with parenting. It follows us to the realm of who we are to be as Christians. We should be searching out new ways to be pleasing unto God. How to make His name great. How to make His name known to all the world. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." That's what God's talking about. Search for me. Have y'all searched for Him this week? Have you seen Him? Have you looked for Him? Said this a million times, and I'll say it a million times more. You need to get out of the house. Get out in God's nature, because that's where God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His beautiful creation. We were out on the boat yesterday, and we were about to come in, and I looked at Alex. I said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What?" I said, "Have you thought about any of the world's problems since you've been out here?" He said, "Not once. Not once." When you're surrounded by God's creation, you're looking at His beauty and seeing Him in everything that you see. Get out there. Do it. Get out of the house. Get out from the computer. Put your phone down. I wish I didn't have a phone other than just to answer phone calls. Put the phone down. Church, we never need to stop our searching. We never need to be content. We never need to feel like that we found out all of the answers. Scripture says, Jesus says this morning, keep searching. Keep searching. You haven't made it. Now, the third piece of wisdom is found in verse 9 as well. He says, keep knocking and the door will be open. Have you ever faced a situation as a parent where you've asked God for help, you've searched for the help, you come to the door of help and knocked, yet the door seemed closed? Y'all ever felt that way? You're just like, God, Lord, have mercy. I can't believe that I'm facing this. You won't believe what they did. I know you saw it, but oh, my Lord, Jesus, I'm searching for help. I need help. You come to the door and you're knocking. Lord, I found you. I need help. And that door just seems slammed shut. Jesus is telling us today that if we just keep knocking at the door, it will be open. Now, Brother Kyle, when will the door be open? When will that door open? I understand what you're saying. Listen, in my experience, I've seen that door open only in God's time. Not my time, but in God's time. When it is right in His eyes to open that door. Now, you might be thinking, why does God wait so long sometime to open the door and give us the wisdom that He knows we need, especially when He tells us to knock and He'll open the door? Why does He wait so long? Church, I've learned that the door oftentimes stays closed because we as parents and Christians, we need to learn a lesson before He opens that door. We need to learn a lesson. Lord, I need you. I need you to teach me what I need to know how to deal with this circumstance and this situation. I'm teaching you. Just be patient. That's why I said keep knocking. I'm not opening the door right now, Brother Kyle. I'm not going to open the door, but I want you to keep knocking. Because when you're knocking, you're trusting that I am going to answer the door and I'm going to answer your need. Now, Jesus then qualifies everything that I just said in verse 10. Look at verse 10. He says, "For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." Did it say it might be open? It said it will be open. Now, what we need to see here is optimism. Jesus is telling us that certain things are going to happen if we are willing to do what He told us to do. I mean, this isn't hard, church. All we have to do is listen to Jesus. Y'all do know why the world's in the shape that it's in, right? They want to listen to everybody and everything. They want to join every group and every organization. They want to spend time with everybody and everything except Jesus. That's it. Jesus is the last thing. Jesus gets the least amount of time. But if you want to be in the right relationship, if you want these things to happen, if you want true answers, you need to spend time with God, not on social media. Now, we need to be optimistic, knowing that all things will work out in their own time. The problem we have as parents and as Christians is that we want all these things to work out in our time, right now. Lord God, thank you. I need help. Please help me right now, right now. Okay, God, where are you? God does not work that way. He really doesn't. This can cause, when it doesn't work out this way, this can cause us to doubt God, to doubt God's word. It could cause us to do things that God does not intend for us to do. And it could even cause us to go into great depression as we try to handle problems in our own lives that God knows that we can't handle. What God really wants for us to say to Him in prayer is this: God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue what to do. I am giving you this situation in full, knowing that you'll take care of it the way it needs to be taken care of in your time. In your time. And when you say this, walk away. Brother Kyle, you say that like that's an easy thing to do. It's not. It's not. There's been times in my life as a parent and as a Christian where I haven't been able to handle the situation that's set in front of me. And one of the hardest things I ever do was what Scripture tells us to do. We lay it at the feet of Jesus, and we turn around and walk away. That's the hardest thing in the world to do as a Christian, is to, you know, give God what He really wants us to give Him, and that's our everything. Now, Jesus then asks a rhetorical question seen in verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says this: what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, at first thought, you might be thinking, this is a silly way of making his point. But what Jesus is trying to get us to see is that when our children have a true need like hunger, and they ask for something to eat, how likely are we to give our children, who we love, something that is going to possibly do them harm or put them in harm's way? We would never do this. And as we come to realize that we would never do such a thing, Jesus drives the point home in verse 13. Look at verse 13. He says, if you then, who are evil, and our flesh is evil, right? If a man says he's without sin, he's a liar, and therefore he is a sinner. Our flesh is evil. So Jesus asks, he says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, at first thought, you may be seeing all kinds of things. But the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach here this morning to the fathers as well as to the mothers, as we as Christians, and we need to ask, we need to pray. I've told you many times that the Ten Commandments were not given to us that we might be able to obtain everything that they say. The Ten Commandments were given to us that we might be able to step back and say, God, I can't do it. And He says, you're exactly right. You need me. You need me. I cannot fulfill all of the commandments. And I sure can't fulfill the 320 extensions that the Jewish nation has put on the original Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are hard enough. I need God. And that's what He wants us to realize this morning, church. We need Him every day in every way. Our scripture this morning has told us that we need to keep asking, we need to keep searching, and we need to keep knocking. Why? Why do we need to do this? Because God wants us to. Brittany, that's a good enough reason, right? He wants us to keep asking, keep searching, and keep knocking. Now, And that's where we need to be. We cannot do any of this without first being in a real relationship with Jesus. And once we have a relationship with a living Christ, we must do everything in our powers to sustain a relationship by asking and by searching and by knocking. Do you know my Jesus? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you loved us so much that you didn't leave us in the blind, God. You've given us a way out. You've given us an explanation. You've given us an instruction book to be everything you created us to be. So this morning, I pray that you would help us to search you out in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, to be in right relationship with you, we must first seek you, and we must, God, we must confess with our mouths that you are Lord and believe in our hearts that, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. So, Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, if there's somebody over the internet who's watching us through live stream who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that we would do as Romans 10:9 says do, and we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we will believe in our heart that, God, you did raise Jesus from the dead. But, Lord, those of us who call ourselves Christians, who are amongst us, both here and on the internet, help us to realize that we need to never stop searching, never stop asking, and never stop knocking, because we truly do need you in all life circumstances to be better fathers, mothers, and Christians. Be with us now during this time of invitation. Lord, if there be one who needs to come spend time with you, I pray that they'll do that very thing right now. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?